This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Hello there, how you doing? It's Kevin Riley here, and welcome to Irish Time here on the Manawatu People's Radio in Palmerston North in the County Manawatu. I've got a lot of news actually today, you know, because most of it, as you can imagine, has been taken up with Brexit and the issues and the crisis that seems to appear to be causing in Northern Ireland among the Democratic Unionist Party and Westminster. Anyway, but we'll get on to that later. This is, I find this interesting. Schools, you observe a minute's silence on Friday the 13th, which is today, for the annual National Famine Commemoration. Schools in Ireland are to observe a minute's silence for all those who died and emigrated during the Great Famine on Friday the 13th of May, the annual National Famine Commemoration Day. In addition, this year's National Famine Commemoration will take place at Stokestown, I think that is, Park Road and Gardens. So signed County Roscommon, in the presence of the Prime Minister, the Taoiseach. There is no other event in our history that can be likened to the Great Famine, either for its immediate impact or its legacy, says Catherine Martin, MP, well, TD, that's a Member of Parliament, Martin Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Galtax, Sport and Media, etc., etc. Well, she's a busy woman. And also the head of the National Famine Commemoration Committee. That legacy includes a strong appreciation among Irish people of issues such as food security and a strong commitment to the humanitarian aid and relief, which is true because, you know, we talk about, you know, people here complain and moan, well, opposition parties about, you know, the cost of living. Well, take my word for it, it's just as bad, if not worse, than many other Western countries. The moment of silence will take place at midday, and the minister will also ask staff that staff and pupils remember those who are suffering famine and hunger today. Good honour. Particularly the children and young people living in parts of the world currently afflicted by chronic hunger, poverty and disease, and which covers a vast part of the continent of Africa and South America and some parts of Europe as well, and, you know, the Asian countries. So it is grim, because, you know, I'm pleased they called it the famine, because I've heard people calling it the Great Hunger. I never quite sort of come to terms with that, the Great Hunger, because it was famine. It was self-imposed in many respects. You know, the potato crop failed, but there was, you know, the Westminster government, on Mr. Trevelyan, I think he was called, refused to sort of give any food over to Ireland to, you know, feed the hungry, as it were. And all those people, hundreds of thousands of them, were just evicted and starved to death, etc., etc., while at the same time they were exporting food and cattle over to London. Anyway, what have we got here? This is the Alliance Party there in Northern Ireland. Michael Long makes a short 3-week mayor. He was the mayor of Belfast for an extremely short time. What have we got here? Pitcher was made in Belfast City Hall there Monday evening as Alliance Party councillor Michael Long was installed as the Lord Mayor of Belfast for 3 weeks. It will be the shortest term of office for any mayor in the city. It is also the first time the spouse of a previous Lord Mayor has held the post. Mr. Long's wife, Naomi, the Alliance Party leader, was the mayor way back in 2009. Mr. Long is replacing party colleague Kate Nicol. She was, I think she got elected on an Alliance ticket. Her term of office ends on the 1st of June, but she was elected last week, to the Northern Ireland Assembly, and under rules banning Assembly members from sitting as councillors, must give up their council seat. Five other councillors were elected and will now vacate their seats in the City Hall. Danny Baker, Brian Kingston, David Brooks, Niola McAllister, and Paul McReynolds. Three of them, Mr. Baker, Mr. Kingston, and Mr. McAllister, are former mayors. In 2019, the serving Sinn Féin mayor, John Fuquain, stepped down from the position after 6 months when he was elected an MP for North Belfast in the general election. It was the first time in more than 100 years that Lord Mayor was not in post for a full year. Now, Mr. Longy will wear the mayoral chains for only 23 days. The 51-year-old will wear the Merle chain. We'll only have the chains on for 23 days. The 51-year-old dentist is a former high sheriff of the city. He was born in Kingston in Canada, but his family moved to Northern Ireland when he was young, and he went to school at Sullivan Upper in Hollywood in County Down. He first met Naomi when they were teenagers, and they married in 1995. They have both been elected as councillors in 2001. There have been a number of married couples involved in Northern Ireland politics over the past 25 years, including Diane and Nigel Dawes, and Iris and Peter Robinson. The installation of Mr. Longhi as Lord Mayor took place on Monday, following the meeting of the City Council. In his opening speech, he said that he was delighted to be the new Lord Mayor of Belfast, both in English and in Irish. He also thanked Miss Knuckles for the work she had undertaken during her tenure in office, adding that she was an inspiration. Mr. Longhi also paid tribute to his father, Professor Adrian Long, who passed away late last month. In his remarks, he added that his appointment was that he was the second foreign-born mayor in a row for the city, because Miss Knuckles was also foreign-born. I think she came from Zimbabwe or South Africa, I'm not sure. Miss Nichols grew up in, Zimbabwe, before her family moved to Belfast. I think it sounds a very positive message that the city is opening and welcoming and inclusive and wants to reach out to everyone in our society. And Mr. Longhi also said a priority in his short term as Lord Mayor is to visit volunteers across the city who helped refugees settle in Northern Ireland society. Well, good on him. You know, he's got a busy 3 weeks in front of him, I would say. public transport fares are to be reduced in Ireland. I think that's we've already done that here in New Zealand. Public transport fares are being reduced in the Republic as part of government plans to address the cost of living. It is the first national fare reduction since 1947. Wow. That's a long time ago. It's about 74 years ago, I think, around about there. Fares in Dublin on the Dublin Bus Lucas, Go Ahead Ireland, and Irish Rail, the DART, just the Dublin Rapid Transit, and commuter services are falling by 20% for the rest of the year. Young adults aged 19 to 25 will now receive a 50% reduction in fares on all subsidised public transport by using an existing Student Leap card or applying for a new Young Adult Leap card. Fares and everything else were reduced last month. Aha. You know, that's Busairn and Local Link. Ireland's Transport Minister, Eamon Ryan, has said the fare reductions are unprecedented and quite radical. The National Transport Authority says people numbers have increased as a result of fare cuts, which is good. I think that I heard that on the saw that on the news earlier on that with around the Auckland region. Then you know they've cut the fares there. I don't think they've abolished them, but they've cut them substantially. And are more people using public transport? And now they've brought in this. Well, are going to bring in the congestion charge, you know, for the city centres, which is quite common practice in many European countries, but it's going to be opening up in Auckland, and that usually reduces the number, obviously, the number of cars and parking, etc. And sort of people usually get on the bus or walk, which can't be a bad thing. Anyway, what have we got here? Calls grow for the Gardaí, the crackdown on teenage gang tormenting Tralee residents and business owners. There is a growing chorus demanding action to tackle a gang of teenagers who have been attacking the elderly, harassing vulnerable children and tormenting business owners in the town centre. Members of the gang have been causing a nuisance in the town for some time. In recent months, their numbers have swollen and they are now almost a constant presence in and around the town centre. Recently, a number of business owners held a meeting to discuss the issue requested the Gardaí to crack down on the gangs. I don't know if they're, you know, gangs like we have, the Black Power and all those other sort of, you know, cults, really, you know. These are just kind of gangs of people that just get together out of boredom, I would imagine. On Saturday evening, members of the gang were involved in an incident near the Island of Geese in which an elderly man returning home with shopping was accosted and threatened by a number of youths. While the man attempted to force the youth away, it took the intervention of a passerby to make the youth back down and flee. Several incidents have been recorded in the Kerryman, it's a local paper, in recent weeks. Meanwhile, businesses all over the town centre have reported daily aggravation by the teens who will enter a premises in a group and spread up to create a nuisance for workers and try to access staff-only areas. It's hard to say what you can do about stuff like that, really, you know what I mean, except give them a good clip in the ear, you know, but you probably, the people that did that would get into trouble. But personally, I would just, apart from giving them a bollocking, I would give them a good kicking, you know, so that, you know, they got the message that this is just not acceptable civilised behaviour. Anyway, this is from the Mayor of London, Sajid Khan, and he blames Donald Trump for the sharp rise in abuse. This is something that's happening in Northern Ireland with these general elections with women, you know, the abuse that they have been put up with, and it's quite serious stuff. And the same with the deputy leader of the Labour Party in London, and a number of other women have come out, you know, members of the British Parliament and the Irish Parliament, they're just having to put up with a lot of, you know, just, yeah, what can I say? But it's just abuse of women. Just, it's basically, I put it down to hate more than anything else. That's the word I would use, hate. Addressing Stanford University in California, Mr. Khan blamed a 1,892% rise in abuse to Donald Trump's election in America. A feud first started in 2017. Minister criticized the mayor over his response to the London Bridge terror attacks. During those 4 years he was president, that led me to having to receive police protection and a lot of racial abuse. In the last year, if I'm being president, once he was banned from Twitter, I received the least racial abuse of all my time as a mayor for 5 years. He was re-elected not so long ago, last week or the week before. On the other hand, social media, Facebook, Twitter, great. On the other hand, that's the consequences of lack of control and lack of regulation. racist abuse targeted Mr. Khan rose considerably. The abuse declined by 30% in 2018, rose by 59% in 2019. The mayor is troubling the country as part of his efforts to bang the drum for London and encourage investment in tourism. The California leg of his tour has been seen him meeting with technology and business experts. So that was basically, there's a bit more about him, but that's all to do with London more than Ireland. But it was just a fact about this kind of abuse against women, really. Not really. It was against women. And that was, some of it was absolutely, you know, horrendous, you know, sort of stalking them, abusing them verbally and threatening them and their families. This is in Northern Ireland we're talking about at present, but also the same thing happened over in England. Okay, so we'll get down to the business of the moment. This is Unionist Heartland Reacts. I feel sick she would be running the country. This is about Michelle O'Neill and the Sinn Féin party that won the they came first. There's no winners. It was the first. They come first, and then the Democratic Unionist Party finished second, you know, a couple of seats behind or whatever. And it's caused all sorts of ructions in the country of Northern Ireland. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out, actually. I think the American, some top American senators are heading over that way. They're trying to see if they can sort the thing out. It's all mostly based on the Good Friday Agreement, et cetera, because the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party is Geoffrey Donaldson, is, to me, apart from being a bad loser, I just think he was, you know, unhappy with a whole lot of things, basically. But I think he just... they want to go back to and relive the past. You know, when the past is over, they can't, you know, when it was started under, I think it was Lord Brookborough, and we used to say it was a Protestant government for a Protestant people, that is no longer the case, and it hasn't been for quite some time. And it's a fallacy to think that all Catholics are all damned to join a united Ireland. They're not. A number of them are, yep, but there's also a high percentage here not remotely interested in a united Ireland. They'd rather stay with Northern Ireland at present. Anyway, what have we got here? There is a Polish Black Granite Memorial Plaque at Dublin Castle, the seat of the local government in County Down, celebrating the 100th anniversary of the foundation of Northern Ireland on May 3rd, 2021. 101 years plus 3 days after the creation of Northern Ireland, which was funded, designed, and for many years largely administered to the exclusion of one section of the community, the Catholic community. Members of the Orange Order gathered a few feet from the plaque on a beautiful sunny day. The overnight news from the election is that Sinn Féin has emerged as the undisputed largest party in the North. And it's not the result that I would have wished for, said one person. He was a master, a country master, and organizer of this year's annual Orange Order parade in the seaside town of Bangor. I feel sick that they will be running this country. They'll be putting my name onto that, he says. I don't want anybody to know who I am. But they're obviously, I'm very unhappy. You know, they have Fenians might be running the country. Fenians is a derogatory term for Catholics. 16 bands together in Castle Bar. They played flutes, accordions, some drums, and are decked out in their band uniforms with the colours of red and deep blue. Men, women and children wear orange collarettes, and the band names displayed on huge banners proclaim matters important to their orange tradition. Among them are Kilbracken's Bible, that's, you get the word, Bible, and Crown Somebody Else, and the Moroccan True Blues. It is, like I said a moment ago, it's like going trend through history, because a lot of these people, like, they just live in the past. They don't realise, like, the world has moved on, et cetera, et cetera. And what they're kidding about is about the Irish Sea border. And a lot of other people, while I'm reading this, are quite happy with... I don't be quite happy, but they're not that obsessed with the Irish Sea border, because, you know, it takes a bit of time to get stuff into Northern Ireland because it's more checks. But they have more access to the Free State, or, you know, the Republic of Ireland, which is part of the European Union, and they can shop down there and get a lot of items that they can't pick up so easily up in the north of Ireland. So a lot of them are more interested in that. And a lot of trade. Northern Ireland exports huge amounts of product to the Republic of Ireland. I think it's 65-70% of products go to the Republic. So it is a real breadwinner for a lot of companies and shops, et cetera, in the retail trade in the north of Ireland. But Mr. Donaldson was just anti that, you know, because they're not going to be part of the UK any longer. That's, you know, their presumption that's going to happen. I don't think it will. Like I said, because a lot of people still want to remain. They won't just they'll just decide overnight. There will be a vote put on the table. It's like they're talking about a poll, a unity poll, et cetera, et cetera. They're blaming Sinn Féin for going to push in that. But I don't think it'll be a vote. It'll be a public vote. And then they start thinking about what if most people want to, join the Republic. become the European Union, become a United Ireland. It's just like Scotland in their fight for independence. I mean, it's 50-50, and it's the same in Northern Ireland. Don't be kidding that it's all Catholics or whatever want to join. They're all Protestants want to keep it, become part of the United Ireland. Some of them possibly do, business people, because they can see the advantages. But a lot of people, the majority, bread and butter people, just don't see that sort of any advantage. They just operate on the history and the hate language and the misinformation that is, put around. Anyway, on that sad, sad note, I will love you and leave you, and I will hear from you hopefully next week. Until then, take care, and after saying all that, be kind to one another, okay? See you later, and thank you very much for listening. Bye.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.